So it's not entirely inappropriate to talk about new birth, especially at this time of year when spring has come to us in a rather dramatic fashion. John's Gospel is very much attuned to the idea of new birth. After all, right at the beginning of the Gospel, there is mentioned that all who receive the Word are given power to become children of God, who are born not of the will of man or the will of the flesh, but of the will of God. And then right at the end of the Gospel, we hear that Mary Magdalene, at the direction of Jesus, is to tell his disciples that he is ascending to his Father, that is Jesus' Father, and their Father, to his God and their God. In other words, what began as this being of having disciples has moved into friends. At one point in the Gospel, Jesus says, "I do not call you servants, I call you friends." But right at the end of the Gospel, the message is that he is going to his Father and their Father, to his God and their God. So there's the sense that they are to be children of God in the pattern and power of Jesus himself. Now, some individuals feel that our passage, which begins in John chapter 14, really gives Nicodemus his answer. Now, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and remarked to Jesus that certainly Jesus must be from God, because no one could do the works that he did except he came from God. Jesus' reply to that was, "You must be born anew," or born again. Nicodemus is mystified by this, and some people, as I said, believe that the beginning really of the answer to Nicodemus comes with our passage, where it mentions, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." So in essence, that statement is indicating to Nicodemus where this new birth comes from, and where people can expect to find such new birth. It's through faith in the one who is lifted up on our behalf. Now, this passage also from John's Gospel speaks of the people turning away from the light rather than coming to the light so that their deeds may be seen. Those who come to the light, according to this passage, are those who do what is true come to the light so that it may clearly be seen that their deeds have been done in God. And it's as though here we have a representation of the new birth, people coming to the light, and their actions and attitudes reflective of that new life, that new birth that God brings about in human life, and has its origin in God's love. And in fact, the central and most memorable part of this passage is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." And the goal of this new birth, which begins with faith in the crucified and risen and ascended one, and manifests itself by the power of the Spirit in various good deeds, is the eternal life which God wishes for all those who put their faith in the Son. In fact, right at the end of John chapter 3, there's a statement that the Father loves the Son and has given everything into his hand. Well, that same love is what God wishes to share with us through faith in Christ, the eternal life. So if we could back up a bit now and have a look with a little more detail at these various ideas. The idea that birth has to take place, or birth into eternal life has to take place in such a difficult way as through the crucified and risen and ascended one, Jesus Christ, may seem difficult for us to imagine or to accept. But even in the previous passages in John's Gospel, we hear about Jesus turning water into wine, and then Jesus in the temple and casting out money changers. Here's the new reality, the new being, the new birth showing itself. And it's something that can come into conflict with what is already set in place and does not want to anything to disturb that, not even this new birth. When the Apostle Paul visited Ephesus, I believe it was, we had a letter to the Ephesians, when Paul visited Ephesus, he was turfed out of town, I think, eventually, because he challenged, or his message seemed to challenge, the worship of the great god or goddess Artemis, a sort of mother god of the whole earth. So his message of the new birth through faith in Christ conflicted with what was already in place. And sometimes, in order for us to receive this new birth and live in it, means to depart from patterns of behavior which amount to idolatry on our part, holding on to things which keep us really from relationship with God. Now, this passage, as I said, also mentions about those who do what is true coming to the light, so that their deeds may be clearly seen that they come from God, or that they've been done in God. Someone periodically tells me the joke that someone compliments a farmer on his work in the field, and the compliment is, "God and you have done a great job in bringing all of this to harvest." And the farmer replies, "Well, wouldn't you like to have seen it when just God did it?" And the result, of course, is just weeds. But really, the glory of God is seen as we are involved, we are active, we are motivated by the spirit of this new life to accomplish what God has for us to do. In fact, as one of the early church fathers, Irenaeus, said that the glory of God is the human being fully alive. When we look at John's Gospel, we see some examples of this being fully alive. For example, there was a man who was born blind, John chapter 9. Well, he received new birth, beginning again, and that beginning again involves sight on his part, but it also involved a manner of relating to others which was pretty active on his part. He was ready to encounter and discuss matters with the leaders of the Jews, who wanted to get Jesus because he had apparently healed this man on a Sabbath. So this man fully alive, this man gifted by the Spirit, showed itself in a willingness to enter into dialogue with even those who might not be too receptive to this message of new birth. We can think also of the Samaritan woman, and she also communicated to her community this reality that she had met the Messiah who told her everything she had ever done. So here again, their new birth seems to be active and in play. And when new birth is active, is present in our lives, then indeed our deeds show up in how we live our lives by the power of the Spirit. And indeed, we can see not only individually as Christians who have been given new birth through faith in Christ. We see also that this individually and as a community of faith can communicate or can express signs of the eternal life which God wishes for us by the power of the same Spirit. I've mentioned Kierkegaard several times. Kierkegaard has this one edifying discourse, as he calls it, on the unchangeable nature of God. Now, and that comes from the book of James. Kierkegaard talks about this, but the unchangeable nature of God is not like that of a pew, for example, or the floor, or the steps that come into the church. The unchangeable nature of God is God's love, God's grace, coming to meet us in Christ. And it's an unchangeable quality which brings change to our own lives, because ultimately the goal of this unchangeable love of God is to change us, is to transform us into the children of God who inherit the eternal life which God has for us in Christ. New birth then is certainly part of this season of spring, but new birth is something that God achieves through faith in Jesus Christ, who was crucified but is risen and is ascended. That new life shows itself also in these gifts of the Spirit, in order that we are active in God's service. But all that points ultimately to the final goal of God's love, which is the eternal life which he wishes to share with us through his Son, the Eternal One, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so may we respond to God's intent for new life, new birth, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and live in the Spirit, in the hope of the eternal life he has for us in company with the Son. Amen.